You have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and follow along as I read. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1. Now, as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, before your word, and help us to focus on what you have to say to us today. You know our hearts, you know our needs better than we do. You know what's ahead this week. Well, we have a plan, we know what we think is coming, but you know exactly. And you know exactly what we're going to need, and perhaps there's something here that we may file away and use this week. Help us to block out the distractions and focus on your word. Take your word and your servant, please, and teach us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Someday, and maybe today, maybe before we're done this morning, God the Father is going to turn to God the Son and say, go get your church. At that very same moment, Jesus will look to the archangel, maybe Michael, maybe Gabriel, and say, blow that horn. And a trumpet will blow that will be heard around the world. In a moment, in an instant, those who have died in Christ will be raised. That body that was so carefully and lovingly laid aside will be raised. The spirit that is eternal will be returning with Jesus, and the two will be joined. That body will be changed into one that is designed to last forever. And while you and I are standing around watching some of this, maybe in that next moment, we too will be changed, because this body can't last forever. Some of us are painfully aware of that and thankful that it doesn't need to, because in a moment it will be changed into one that will last forever. And chapter 4 and verse 17 says, and we will be together with him. You may remember that on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he told his disciples, I am going to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you can be also. That's what this is all about. He would go through the excruciating embarrassment of a trial, the pain and anguish of crucifixion, the reality of death, to lead to a resurrection that would prove that he is exactly who he says he is, the very Son of God, our Savior, and based upon that, would be able to invite us to come and join him for eternity. Therefore, chapter 4 and verse 18 says, comfort one another with these words. There was concern in Thessalonica in the little church there. What about those who had died? What about those of us who remain? Did we miss something? Chapter 5 will help a little bit in our understanding of what has happened and what is yet to come. Paul told the church, "Now as to the times and epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you." Those are not synonymous terms, although sometimes we interchange them. Times means just that. Day, date, week, month, year. Epochs, on the other hand, eras, seasons. The age of the Egyptians, the Assyrians, Israel had to deal with both. Then came the Babylonians, the Medes, the Persians, the Greeks, now the Romans. Well, we know when they began. If you're in the middle of it, when will it end? Don't know. Well, brethren, when it comes to the end times, the future events, what God has planned first for the church and then for the rest of the world, what does Paul say here? You have no need of anything to be written to you. You know everything there is to know. You know everything you need to know. He taught them well. I get the impression that much of what we read in the last paragraph of chapter 4 and much of what we're going to read here, at least in this first paragraph through verse 11, he's already taught them. He's just reminding them. Which, of course, is good news for us, because we're going to learn some things that we wouldn't know otherwise if it weren't for this. So every once in a while, God takes a church that should know better, reteaches them to instruct the rest of us, which is a good thing. What should they have known? What should they have remembered? Well, first of all, you can't know the unknowable. Verse 2, "For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night." In other words, he's saying, you are asking some questions that don't need to be asked, because in fact you already know that the answer is unknowable. For instance, do you remember what I taught you about the day of the Lord? Now, that's a very specific phrase that we have to look to the context to know for sure what it refers to, but almost always to at least two aspects of future events. The day of the Lord, in general, means when God, in a very dramatic way, takes a personal approach and gets involved in the lives of his people. Now you say, well, wait a minute, I thought he was always... Yes, he is. But there are sentinel events, sentinel times, when God interjects himself into the nation of Israel, into his church. So there's a sense in which the day of the Lord begins all the way back with the incarnation, when Jesus came. It had been perhaps 3,000 years since God had promised to Adam and Eve that he would send a Savior. Genesis 3:15. Here he is. Jesus told Israel, the kingdom of God is at hand because the king is here. I'm here. But they rejected the king, crucified him, killed him, rejected him. But God wasn't done. Jesus rose again. He's still the Son of God, our Savior, the Messiah, the Redeemer. He still is, whether you've recognized it or not. Well, that's the beginning of the day of the Lord in some contexts. But more specifically, from where the church at Thessalonica and from where the church in Wolf Lake is sitting, the day of the Lord is when he will interject himself again into the lives of mankind in a very dramatic way. When coupled with this phrase, like a thief in the night, as much as we might like to think so, and some contemporary music assumes so, nowhere in Scripture does that combination, day of the Lord and thief in the night, ever refer to the rapture. Instead, it refers to that time when Jesus is going to come physically to the earth and begin to rule here as the Messiah over all the earth. When will that happen? Don't know, can't know. Jesus told his disciples, I don't even know. Does he know now? We don't know. So that part in the scenario may or may not be correct. But what I do know is there's nothing in this book, there's nothing we can put together that would allow us to say with certainty, Jesus is coming back for his church today or tomorrow. What we do know is there's nothing keeping him from coming today or tomorrow. If God says, go and get your church. So there's no, you can't know the unknowable. But for the rest of the world, they won't prepare for the unexpected. Now that notion of thief in the night, Jesus used that as well. You know, if you knew your house was on a burglar's list for tonight, you'd prepare just a little bit differently, right? But usually they don't send out notices. So here, they will not prepare for the unexpected. While they are saying, verse 3, peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains from a woman with child, and they will not escape. Thief in the night, like labor pains. Again, both referring to that time when Jesus will return. Not the rapture, but when Jesus will return to the earth. And while we have trouble, you know, we have to stop and think a little bit, keep all of this straight. The church in Thessalonica was having the same problem, so let's just be patient here. Unlike the thief in the night, the labor pains, while maybe may come on all of a sudden, or unexpectedly, use that term lightly, it's not like you didn't think they would be coming, right? So, see, that's where this gets a little different. While they are saying peace and safety, while everything seems to be going just fine, while the world thinks everything is under control, if you think in terms of what we learned 2 weeks ago in 1 Thessalonians 4, and what's going to be happening immediately after, if all of a sudden in this world, millions of people are gone, Uh, highways, roadways littered with abandoned vehicles, planes falling out of the sky, factories suddenly without employees. Somebody's going to have to explain that. Somebody's going to have to somehow bring peace and safety out of that confusion. And Satan has just the man who will have all of the answers. And for 3.5 years, we'll make promises to everybody, including Israel, and the world will go along pretty well. They will have peace and safety. And then the day of the Lord will take another step into this world. And all kinds of wrath and judgment will be poured out. So while everybody is talking about peace and safety, and everybody's looking at things seemingly going along just fine again, the bottom falls out. Just like the thief who came unannounced in the night. And just like that baby who all of a sudden said, it's time. Could have been, should have been expecting it, but weren't. And nothing's going to stop it. It's coming. Now that's, of course, where the illustration falls apart, because we look forward to those little ones getting here and their arrival and all that's involved in that. But while the world should have been expecting God's judgment and weren't, sure that everything would just keep on going just fine despite what's been going on around them, in the midst of all of that, God then pours out His judgment. And unlike the rapture, they could have, should have known. There's plenty in this book to describe the time after the rapture. Even the days and dates. If they will just take the time, the opportunity to read the book. Now, as we continue in this passage, we're going to see that there's great comfort in knowing that the Lord will come for His church before judgment is poured out upon the earth. The wrath that God has been storing up for those who have ignored Him for so long. The church will not need to endure that. There is also great urgency in wanting to share the hope of salvation. Remember, hope in terms of the anticipation, the ultimate reality of that salvation. Yes, if we receive by faith the grace of God, believe the finished work of Christ, yes, that saves us. Yes, that frees us from the penalty and the power of sin. And that starts us in a process of becoming like Christ, but that's not done yet. Our hope is that final step where we really become like Christ, where we are finally freed completely from the power and the ravages of sin. That's the hope of salvation. That's what we anticipate. And so there is also great urgency in wanting to share the hope of salvation with as many as we can while we can. We don't know when Jesus is going to come for his church. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul's going to tell them, you know, if you've heard this message over and over again, if you've heard of God's love and the gift of Jesus, and you've heard that over and over again and you've rejected it, don't think that when you see the church leave, oh, okay, I guess I should have and so I will. Paul says, no, there will be... Even you who should be able to see more clearly now won't. So we need to be doing all we can. Letting folks know today, now, while they can do something about it, that God loves them, that Jesus died for them. And all that's left for them to do is to accept by faith that great grace. Does that mean everything's going to go really, really well? No. Hasn't for me, hasn't for you. But it does mean when God pours out his judgment upon this world, you and I won't be here. And for that, we can be very thankful. Let's take as many along with us. When that time comes, let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately. Paul chose his words very, very carefully. I pray, Father, that we've understood them. We anticipate that day when Jesus comes for his church. We know that that event will set into motion that final judgment upon the earth. You will still have your witnesses. There will still be those among the nation of Israel who will finally see Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah. And we'll share that around the world. But they will have to endure the wrath. The judgment. They will be here for times that John struggled to describe for the church of what would happen to those who are left behind. May that encourage us to live lives that are winsome. Lives that are useful to your Holy Spirit to draw others to yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.